Thrills. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Cheap Thrills. I'm your host, Etheria, and here's your top stories of the week. And now, here's your top stories in gaming. So welcome back, guys. So first of all, I want to start off with Square Enix. Here's the thing. This is from on Twitter. Audrey, I guess she's one of the voice actors on the series. Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 3 main story has already been completed. Nora thinks that they will perhaps start voice recording in the near future. He remarks that Ketsy proposed an idea to him about something very important to include, even though it wasn't in... It wasn't in the, if they can do it well. I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I was reading fast ahead. He says the reason why Final Fantasy VII Rebirth was such an effective development period was because they retained the same staff as the previous installment. I call bullshit. Because I think that if that was the case and stuff like that, this game should be finished. Not by 2027. This game should be finished by at least 2025. Because everybody knows the aesthetic. Everybody knows what they need to do and stuff like that. And I can't stress this enough. Y'all should have already written this story. Keeson also mentioned that Rebirth was actually done 3 years. See? Since about 1 year in developing the DLC. And he hopes he will be able to stick to that schedule for part 3 too. Now, I'm glad that this is kind of like the first story that I read and stuff like that. Because I know it seems like I'm coming from these goddamn Sony fans. I'm not. I think that... Because I respect... The Final Fantasy VII story. I grew up with Final Fantasy VII. It's my second. No, actually, not my second. It's my third. Because I think if I hit my number, it'll be 6, 9, and then 7. And then 10. But I cared about this story. It was so beautifully told. But everyone hyped it up. You don't understand. Was that the PS3 that showed off the power? I think it was a PS3. And we didn't get... It was a PS3. Because we didn't get 7 on the fourth one. PS4. But we got it. We did, because it's on PS4. But you know what I mean. Like, the raw power was on PS5. So it took a long time for us to see the Final Fantasy. Come alive. Yeah? And, but like I said, I look at those numbers. Do you guys know that, and this is just reporting, it's been a month since that game been out. A month. And they have only moved 3 million copies of that game. Three. This is what I think is going to happen. This is what I think that's going on with the series. Because you remember, they wanted to do a four. They wanted a four disc for this game. And I think after the Sony fans have always wanted Final Fantasy VII. And they wanted it in this format. They wanted it in this glory that is in. And that is not no shade. When the first one came out, the remake, they saw those numbers, and then they said, we're not investing like this. They have put too much work, too much effort into this goddamn game to be placed on the PlayStation story. I mean, PlayStation platform. Only for the PlayStation fans not to buy this goddamn game. I think that the third act, it's not gonna do what I think it needs to do. I don't think that it's going to do what it needs to do. And I will venture to say this much. Do you guys remember Kingdom Hearts? I do too. And how convoluted that story is. I think Kingdom Hearts, if we're being completely honest, guys, if we're being 100, Kingdom Hearts should have stopped that too. But Disney, as well as Square, they wanted to continue to make that money. And the story has gotten even more convoluted. It was supposed to be a short scene, but it grew to such fandom that they was like, we gotta keep this going. That's what they thought they was going to do with this series. They thought they was gonna have to continue to grow with this series. But, and again, the story in it is good, but with these timelines, I think they took it a little bit too far out of left. I thought it was just too, nah, it doesn't seem right. We know what happened with Zach. Zach has his own game, and that's fine. You should have stayed in the same story as the original game. With some tweaks, yes, but you still should have stayed there. Because again, Zach has his game. Vincent has his game. Hell, even Salazar has his game. I should have followed my first goddamn instinct, you know? I should have followed my first instinct. My first instinct was, I'm gonna wait till this whole trilogy is out. But I bit it because, again, I got the remake game. But I should have stayed on that storyline. It's messed up. Hey, are you guys watching Fallout on the Fallout TV series? I like it. Now, I did not finish it. I'm 3 episodes in. And I've got to be honest with you guys. I like it. I think that this could have been a game. I know this could have been a game. And they're following the same format in the series. And they just put it in, you know, in live action like it is. I like it. I want to know what happens at the end. I know they probably gonna give us 2, possibly 3 series. I don't want it to go. I really don't want it to go past 2, but I'm open to it. But do not go past 3. Nintendo Switch gives some 3 classics. Super R-Type, Wrecking Crew 98, and Amazing Herbarke. Ooh, let me update my Switch. I've known about Super R-Type. I've never played it. And I do like R-Type. So I'm gonna check that out. What else happened? So Star Wars Outlaw, expensive gold and ultimate edition. The gold edition costs $109, while the ultimate is $129, and people are pissed off. This is Ubisoft doing. First of all, the trailer came out, and I know I may sound pessimistic, but I'ma say it. I feel like I've seen it before. Really. I think that this is a cookie cutter game. And I know that people are going to want to go. Child, look. The standard one has a base game only. The gold has a base game. Season pass. 2 DLCs, girl. Jabba the Hutt Gambit. Exclusive mission. And up to 3 days of early access. The ultimate was Sabacc Shark bundle, the Rogue Infiltrator bundle, the digital art book. Girl, This is the shit that they're trying to... This is the shit... That game is gonna flop before it even gets out here. It's gonna flop before it gets out here. Wait a minute. I'm looking at something, guys. Hold on. MetaQuest 2 sales is back down to $199 and includes a free $50 gift card. So you're really paying $150 for this VR headset. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. I know I'm just looking at it. I'm not going to get it. But, and what do you need to, do you still need to, have a Meta account? Like a Facebook account in order to play this? I think this man is trying to do everything in their power to make this shit work. I think the reason why they took it down as low as it did is because of the Apple Vision Pro. And I even hear people taking that back because it's such a niche. I mean, $3,200. I'm going off of rails here, guys. Let me go right back to what I was talking about. Yeah, that Outlaw game, that shit looks stupid. I feel like I've seen it before. Oh, shit. Bethesda reveals for Fallout 4 next-gen update as a final release. Time to settle down. Okay. The free update for the post-apocalyptic open world will be launched on April 25th on the Xbox Series X and S and includes native applications for the console, performance modes and quality mode, and as well as stability improvement and fixes, which means the game will be playable up to 60 frames per second with increased resolution. On the PS4, it will just get stability improvement as well as for the Xbox One. I ain't mad at y'all. I am not mad at you. If you wanted to get, like, you know, to get all that stuff for free, in my humble opinion, just get it on the Xbox and whatnot. Oh, and if you have a Twitch account, you'll be able to download Fallout 76 for the Xbox Series. And stuff like that, you'll be able to buy it for free. Okay, guys. And I guess with that, there really wasn't much to talk about. Hold on, guys. Let me come back with you. Come back from here for a second. World of Warcraft Grand Nostalgia Tour of old content is going strong, and Blizzard announcing that in addition to World of Warcraft Classic, adding the Cataclysm expansion, and now they will send their players back to the Mists of Pandaria. That's some crazy ass shit. That's some crazy ass shit. I mean, here's the thing. The reason why these remixes or updates are happening, it's because of the fact that Medusa Shark got these bots running these dungeons and shit like that. And to be quite honest with you, they're really simple. There was a challenge to play in Warcraft. A former Warcraft addict. There was a challenge to this game. And I'm not saying that I want to be an elitist, because I think being elitist is dumb. But I will say this. I like the old one. Am I going to go back into it? No. And I checked out the classic and stuff like that. I went back and I played Wrath of the Lich King classic. And it was fun, but I'm out. I thought that that one right there was when they made peak World of Warcraft games, in my humble opinion. Whew, okay, and I guess why we're there. And with that, we'll end it here. And those are your top stories in gaming. And now, here's your top stories in pop culture. Well, guys, listen. Out of respect for his family, O.J. Simpson has passed at the age of 76 due to cancer. A lot of people was like, you know, feeling bad. Actually, not a lot of people. I gotta take that back. A lot of people were celebrating that that man died. And I think it was for the obvious reasons. They was like, some people really, really did believe that that man murdered Nicole Brown. They really believed it. Here's the thing. And we will never know. We will never know. I've always said this. This is why I've always stood, and I will stay this. Now that this man is dead, do I think or do I believe that that man murdered those two people? I do not believe that. I do not believe that he did it. Do I believe that he knows who did do it? Most certainly. And that what makes him guilty to me. Because I don't think he did the act, but I do believe he knew who did do it. And that to me just makes him guilty. Because he should have let that girl go. But it was on the prosecution. It was on the prosecution to bring forth a case that literally divided the world. And they failed at their job. They failed at their job. They failed at their task. I think the first thing they should have done is they shouldn't have released that motherfucking guy. They should not have let that fucking goddamn racist cop touch any part of that motherfucking case. Because I believe that if he wasn't a part of it, that he would, O.J. Simpson would have been, found guilty. But I think he literally ruined that whole goddamn, case for them. But that man, he's gone. After seeing that documentary, I think it was on ESPN. I don't know, one of those goddamn documentaries. But see, it was like it was actually a really, really good documentary. It was a really good documentary. What I hated the most about O.J. Simpson was, I truly believe that he was mental. I wouldn't say mental, but he was most certainly on the spectrum. And number two, I didn't like him because he denied his blackness. He denied his blackness. And in my eyes, I thought that was the worst thing you could do, to betray your own race. He thought he was above his own. But it was those very people that took him down. It was those very people that took him down. He went over there to that other side, I'll just keep it there. He went over there to the other side, and he realized just how much they really did despise that man. So long as you are making them money, or you are contributing to that neighborhood or their lifestyle to some degree, they're going to love you. But the moment you step outside of that, I'm looking at you, Candace Owens. The moment you step outside the narrative, they will get rid of you and bastardize you like that. And then you have to ask them at some point in time, why even entertain it? Why even entertain it? They'll figure it out. JT and Carisha, hold on. JT, Carisha, and Saucy Santana was fighting. I think it's in my, God damn it. I thought it was. Girl, Carisha and, JT. You know what? I thought that, I thought I had bookmarked it. And I think it was because, okay, to summarize it, even in the smallest way, because from what I remember it. All right. So, Saucy Santana went to social media, and he was like, he was disappointed in Carisha because, she had some of her homeboys, and they were straight up disrespecting him and calling him out his name. And JT decided to, like, you know, come in and, like, you know, get her little pop on. And then that's when Carisha decided she wanted to defend herself. But you guys know how I feel about this group, right? You know how I feel about this group. I think that it is some, all three of them, because they all came, not only they came from the same area, but they all came up the way they did. I believe Saucy Santana was on first, and he brought them on. I remember Saucy being first, and then hearing about City Girls and stuff like that. I feel that I'm looking at this girl. Not on Instagram, because I don't have Instagram. But I'm definitely looking at this girl on Twitter. And I gotta say, I feel bad for them. I really do. In one way, I'm happy. But in another way, and when I said that I'm happy, it's like, okay, they got their shine. You know, and they're stepping into the spotlight, and you know, they have made some milestones. But what's sad is that they could not leave that hood lifestyle alone. And it is what it is. But, probably they sold it through. I know that sound like I was like, just running my mouth right then and there. It's just that I never really went up on these girls. I really never went up on, oh, she's on the stage with them. What's that, Nicki Minaj? Nicki Minaj. Her concert seems to be doing good. Girl, did y'all see that Missy Elliott, Ciara, and Busta Rhymes is going on tour? And I'm shocked to find out that this will be Missy's first tour. That's wild to me. And everybody seems to be going on tour this year. Everybody. I guess that speaks more to the industry and stuff like that. These industries is trying to screw everyone over. I guess it all started with, what's her name again? Oh, and Dolce. Okay. Dolce is this EDM rapper. Okay? And she has been making some moves and stuff like that. And Azealia Banks came out and said that her fans should be referred to as wannabes. Now, okay, I don't have a dog in this fight. I will say this. Dolce is very talented. That being said, Dolce, you did bite off of Azealia Banks. You really did. But the problem here is this, and I this is where I stand with Dolce at. This is where I stand with Dolce. Azealia Banks, this was a lane that you created for yourself. and you drop the ball. Don't be mad that this girl picked up that baton and you continue to run with it. Not only that, she did give you props and admiration and say that she is, you are the blueprint of this. But don't be mad at her for succeeding you. You should have continued with this, and you didn't. This is what Dolce said. I use my platform to make money and inspire people. Everyone around me is inspired by me. I'm positive influence. You used to be so respected for your talent and your voice. Now you use your platform to gossip about black artists and sell Mary Kay products. You're insufferable. It took you 3 business days to come up with that comeback, just to resort to colorism. Boo. Does it not get tiring being an attack dog every time for the very same white gays you allegedly vehemently despise? That's the only artist you have that wants to watch a talented black woman to go at each other's throat. Your brain is fried from meds. You're damn near immobile from the shots. I think that when she did have her surgery and everything, and I mean like top surgery, boob job and everything, I think that like the following motherfucking goddamn couple of months, stuff like that, the girl went out and did a full fucking goddamn video, and I don't think that she should have done that. I think she should have been like, okay, give me at least 6 months, let me deal with this, and then come out. But that album, Anna Wintour, that shit knocked. It was so good. I think that was one of her best works on the main studios, main records and stuff like that. Before her first album, oh my god. Going back to what she said, don't hurt yourself. You gossip about black artists to stay relevant, and it's sad. You definitely are an issue, just not one of the icons. You're one post away from the psych ward. Stop it. Your diagnosis is wasted talent. Ooh. I bowed down and I kissed the ring, but bitch, I'm me. Hate to do you like this, but you are not finna bully me out of my lane. I've done in 2 years of singing what you could have done in your entire career. You're welcome. And she's not lying. Because you can see the blueprint, baby. The blueprint will always be Grace Jones. The blueprint will always be Grace Jones. But, you dropped the ball, Azealia. You dropped the ball. Because Azealia is that bitch. She can not only rap, she can sing, she's talented, and the girl knows how to work on a shoestring budget. She knows how to work it. But hopefully she'll find peace. Like that girl said, hopefully, girl, you'll find peace. Now, talking about peace, let's talk about this J. Cole apology. J. Cole went to his concert, Dreamville. He had up on, it was on Amazon and that. And he went out and he apologized to the masses, which includes his fans, about the album 7-Minute Drill. Now, here's my thing. 7 minute drill, 7 minute drill, 7 minute drill. I heard it. I thought it was weak as fuck. And as he said in that apology, he didn't believe it. No one did. And I'm not saying that I am a rap enthusiast, because I'm not. But even I knew that that shit was garbage. I knew it was garbage. And I knew you... you fell off like the Simpsons. Bitch, the Simpsons is still running to this day. Girl, what? And then you want to go after Kendrick Lamar catalog? You can go after Kendrick. You can go after a lot of things with Kendrick. But baby, let me tell you something. What you not gonna do is you not gonna go after his music. Not only has Kendrick broke the fucking mold, but he letting all of you motherfuckers know that he's that nigga you don't wanna fuck with. But here's the discourse that I'm having a problem with. Man, I think it was brave that he came out and said that, you know, that he thought that, you know, he could have did better when it came to Kendrick and that whole beef shit, that it was brave for him to be the bigger person. Let me tell you guys something. Let me tell you guys something. Am I a rap enthusiast? No. But I know goddamn well that rap has always been a competitive sport. I've always known that. It's been a competitive sport with Tupac and Biggie, with Jay-Z. Not Jay-Z. Jay-Z and Nas. Yeah, Jay-Z and Nas. Eazy-E and Ice Cube. Who did Kuma D? Was it Kuma D and, who went after, Slick Rick? No, Kool Moe Dee went after, what's his name again? LL Cool J. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's always been a competitive sport. We can all agree. We can all agree that it got out of hand when Tupac and Biggie died. It got out of the hand. J. Cole. You are not part of the conversation anymore. And a lot of the people who are in this Discord is trying to say, I don't understand why y'all try to take him out. No, when they try to take J. Cole out. J. Cole took himself out. Number one, J. Cole, you knew, everybody knows that Kendrick Lamar does not trust nor like Drake. And that was Drake doing. You caught a couple of strays. You could have stood on the chin. And let life pass you by. One of the reasons why I never respected what the are we gonna go back into Drake and stuff like that? That's about the respect and stuff like that. Is this is exhibiting Drake behavior? With Kendrick Lamar. Did that one verse on Big Sean's album. I'm trying to find that album. Big Sean. Control. He was letting you guys know that this shit ain't no game. And I get where he's coming from. I do. There are too many people who are dying, and putting their pens to work in order to get the recognition of their motherfucking skills. It can get testy sometimes, rap can, but you have to be one of the fucking best in order to be in this conversation. J. Cole should have known that shit. Drake doesn't know that shit. Drake is coasting on it. His mixtape, the first one, Drake laid down bars, but Drake is soft. And the reason why Drake is soft because of that control verse. Kendrick Lamar showed the world just how much of a bitch Drake is. I discovered Kendrick Lamar on a Drake song. The interlude, Buried Alive. I listened to Kendrick Lamar that one time, the first time in my life. That very night, I literally stopped being a fucking Drake fan and went and sided with Kendrick Lamar. Because there was only one other person in the rap game that has ever done that to me. One. And his name was Tupac. I don't want to hear from J. Cole no more. I don't. You see what they're doing with Andre 3000 over there? Andre 3000 can wipe the fucking floor and if you want me to be honest with you and shit like that, shit, I thought that when it comes to I think that Tyler the Creator is better than Drake. I think that Tyler the Creator is better than J. Cole. Shit, I know, Frank Ocean is. I know Frank Ocean is. Thank you. I don't go up for Drake. Because of that control. And I'm not going up for fucking J. Cole no more. And for these motherfucking goddamn radio people, personalities and shit like that, y'all need to get off of y'all motherfucking high horse. Don't be going around here talking about this is a sport, this is a rap game and stuff like that, but when your favorite bows his ass out and all y'all want to do is change the motherfucking narrative, nah, fuck him. And fuck y'all. If y'all not gonna stand on this 10 toes now, then you don't need to be on no motherfucking rap station. Or you don't need to be on no hip-hop station. You need to take your motherfucking ass over to some goddamn random-ass fucking podcast. Hello, I'm one of those people. And... stick it over there. This is hip-hop. This is about who is the best in this field. You have somebody who will always have fans. But he bowed himself out. Should he be crowned for it? That's subjective. But he would not be part of this conversation no more. I'm sorry. He would not be part of this conversation no more. He could come out with a bomb-ass album. Still won't be... still, he will always be unshadowed by his own doing. Because he literally went on his stage and used his time to tell the world that he doesn't want to fight. And again, that's fine. But you are no longer part of this conversation, J. Cole. Saying that does not negate your talent. You was the one who said that I'm not gonna fight for this anymore. You did. Okay, guys, and with that, I think I'm gonna end it here. And those are your top stories in pop culture. Well, guys, it looks like we've come to the end of another great episode here on Cheap Thrills. I've been your host, Etheria. And I look forward to chatting with you guys next week. If you'd like to write to us, you can contact us at cheapthrillspodcast01@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at cheapthrillspodcast01.